Praise the Lord. This is Brother Greg from the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries. Stay right with us for the next hour. We have Spirit-filled gospel music, responses from Pastor Tony Lamo's gospel literature from around the world, and we have personal testimonies of people whose lives have been changed completely through the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have reading from Pastor Tony Lamo's book titled The Messiah, According to Bible Prophecy. And we have reading from Pastor Lamo's recent literature that he's written. So we have a full hour of Spirit-filled gospel program, so listen carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth soon. We're living in the very last days of time. Don't be left out. Right now, let's go up to the throne of the living God, those of us that have made covenant with the Lord, and ask Him to pour out His Spirit and to bless this gospel program. Heavenly Father, Lord and our God, we praise You and we thank You, Lord, for Your complete salvation that is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless this program. You said, open Your mouth wide, and I will fill it. You said that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lord, in the name of Jesus, pour out Your outward anointing on this program, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Live out Your incarnation in and through us as You did in the man Christ Jesus, the glorified, resurrected Savior of the world. Lord, we're asking all these things, Father, in Jesus' name we pray, and we all agree and say amen and amen. And as we promised Pastor Lamo to sing for you, you may run on for a long time. He's backed up by J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. You can run on for a long time, but if you're not saved, if you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're not keeping the commandments, let me tell you, God Almighty's going to cut you down. So listen as Pastor Lamo sings with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet, You May Run On.
Stop, God Almighty, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on my bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. My God spoke, and He spoke so sweet. I thought I heard the shuffle of an angel's feet. Put one hand upon my head. Great God Almighty, let me tell you what He said. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, the rambler, the backbiter. Tell him God Almighty's gonna call him down. You may run on. Tell you God Almighty's gonna cut you down. You may throw your rock and hide your hand, plotting in the dark against your fellow man. But sure as God made the day and the night, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You may run and hide, slip and slide, talk about the mold in your brother's eye. But sure as God made the rich and the poor, you're but just what you sow, you may run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time. Let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, the rambler, the backbiter. Tell him God Almighty's gonna cut him down. Some people go to church just to signify, trying to make a date with the neighbor's wife. But brother, let me tell you, just as sure as you're born, you better leave that woman alone. Because one of these days, you mark my word, you'll think that brother has gone to work. You'll sneak up and knock on the door. That's all, brother, you'll knock no more. You may run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time. Let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, the rambler, the backbiter. Tell the God Almighty's gonna cut 'em down.
That's a great song sung by Pastor Tony Lamo with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. Right now, we're going to have responses read from the pastor's literature that's gone out throughout the entire world as the Bible prophesied that the gospel would be published in all nations just before Jesus Christ comes back to earth again. We're going to have Sister Alice, and she's going to start reading these responses. Sister Alice.
The first letter that we have today is actually from our prayer and information phone line. It says, a woman called for prayer yesterday. She received a newsletter at Walmart in Sulphur Springs, Texas. It was Tony Alamo's testimony. She found it very interesting and decided to call. She said she had been saved and that she goes to church all the time, but she falls back into sin and needs deliverance. I witnessed to her for quite a while and then led her through the sinner's prayer. She was very relieved and happy. One of the sisters from the church will be calling her to help her in the Lord. She was invited to services. Literature and the Messiah book she requested have been sent to her. Praise the Lord. The second letter we have is from Missouri. To Tony Alamo Ministry, I'm writing you to tell you thank you very much for the literature you've sent me and the help you've given me. I have been unsure of my belief in the past, and reading your literature and seeing for myself the things you've done has strengthened my belief in the Lord our God. Thank you so much for opening my eyes. I will continue to read your literature. Thanks once again for your time and kindness. Clifford Bosworth, Farmington, Missouri. The next letter we have is actually an email from Chile, and it was translated from Spanish. It says, I greet you in the great love of our Lord Jesus Christ. My brethren, I have distributed all the material from Pastor Alamo that you sent me. With your material, I work in the women's jail. I distributed all your literature and Bibles in the jail. I need more material if you can send them to me. My brothers, I was overjoyed over the material that you printed, newsletter volume 7900, Do We Live After Death? I had sent you photos 3 years ago of the jail and the work that I carry out on the streets and in the hospital, and out comes my testimony in the center of the page on the right side. With much joy, I showed it to my brethren from my house of prayer. I really run out of your material very fast. I will greatly appreciate it if you can increase the amount. The Bibles are needed in the jail. If possible, send around 12. I will greatly appreciate it. I will tell you a testimony from inside the jail on behalf of one of the inmates who gave thanks to God. She said she was a lesbian and she had her partner, but that Christ has now changed her. She would glorify God and sang a hymn of joy. It is there, my brethren, where we used your material. Salutations to our Pastor Alamo. There is a Christian nation here in Chile who loves him, prays for him, and is very thankful for his support. Give him our regards. May the Holy Spirit give testimony to my words. Amen. Victor Rios Santos from Concepcion, Chile. And the last letter we have today is from Malawi. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the Lord. You are my first word in my daily prayers, and what I say always is about your life's work and ministry. Be blessed for the great work you are doing for the Lord. Our distribution work here is still winning more souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Furthermore, we would like to request 10 Bibles, 2,000 assorted newsletters, videos, and tapes for distribution. We would also like to request 10 black t-shirts. If you also have used clothes, we ask if you may send them to help the needy people in our ministry here. Thank you for not failing my request. Yours in Christ's love, Evance P. Nalia, from Limbi, Malawi. P.S. Enclosed is my picture showing the time I was distributing Messiah books and newsletters in the city of Blantyre, Limbi Depot. God be with you always.
Thank you very much, Sister Alice.
And as we promised in previous broadcasts, this is Sister Sharon to read for you excerpts from Pastor Tony Alamo's book titled The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy. Sister Sharon.
Fulfilled prophecy is unique to the Bible. The fact is that fulfilled prophecy is found in the Bible alone. Hence, it presents proof of divine inspiration that is positive, conclusive, and overwhelming. Here is the argument in brief. No man unaided by divine inspiration foreknows the future, for it is an impenetrable wall, a true iron curtain to all mankind. Only an almighty and all-knowing God can infallibly predict the future. If then one can find true prophecy with definite fulfillment, as one does in the Bible, with sufficient time intervening between the prediction and the fulfillment, and with explicit details in the prediction to assure the prophecies are not clever guesses, then the case is perfect and unanswerable. Remember, there were 400 years between the last of the messianic predictions of the Old Testament and their fulfillment in the Christ of the Gospels. Many prophecies are, of course, much older than 400 BC. During a period of 1100 years from the age of Moses, 1500 BC, to that of Malachi, 400 BC, a succession of prophets arose, messianic prediction took form, and all of these prophets testified of the Messiah who was to come, as well as the prophecies of Christ to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and many others thereafter, up to the time of Moses. So minute and so voluminous are these Old Testament predictions, and so complete is their fulfillment in the New Testament, that there would be no honest infidel in the world were messianic prophecy studied. Nor would there be any doubting disciples if this fact of prediction and fulfillment were fully understood. The sad fact is, we have yet to meet the first honest skeptic or critic who has carefully studied the prophecies which center in Christ. Here indeed is God's rock of ages, faith's unshakable standing place. Prophecy is God's own method of proving his truth. The teachings of the Bible are so profoundly opposite from all other religions, and so all-important, telling us that man's eternal destiny for salvation or doom depends on his acceptance of the Christ and his commandments in the Bible, KJV and original texts in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. That we have the right to know whether the Bible is or is not a heavenly decree, the absolute and final word of God, and whether its message is fully authorized by the Almighty. If God has given a revelation of his will in the Bible, there can be no doubt that in some unmistakable way he will show men that the Bible is indeed his revealed will. The way he has chosen to show men that the Bible is his word is a way that all men of average intelligence can understand. That way is through the giving and the fulfillment of specific, detailed prophecies. It is his divine seal, letting all men know that he has spoken. This seal can never be counterfeited. It is affixed to the truth to which it attests. For his foreknowledge of the actions of free and intelligent agents, men, is not only one of the most incomprehensible attributes of deity, it is exclusively a divine perfection. In challenging the false gods of Isaiah's time, the true God said, quote, "Produce your cause, bring forth your strong reasons, show us what shall happen, declare us things to come, show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods," unquote, Isaiah 41:21-23. There are false faiths like Mohammedanism and Buddhism that have tried to prop up their claims on pretended miracles, but neither these nor any other religion in the history of the world except the Bible have ever ventured to frame prophecies. It is the peculiar glory of the Almighty, the all-knowing God, who is the Lord, the Creator, Isaiah 40:28. To declare, quote, "new things before they spring forth," unquote, Isaiah 42:9. He will not give that glory to another, for as he stated, quote, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another," unquote, Isaiah 42:8. The true God alone foreknows and foretells the future. He has chosen to confine his foretelling to the pages of Scripture. Though there are many other subjects of divine prophecy in the Bible, such as the Jews, the Gentile nations that surrounded Israel, the ancient cities, the church, and the last days, the divine perfections of foreknowledge and fulfillment can be better seen in the realm of prophecies concerning Christ than in any other sphere. Here is the clear statement that shows God alone in the Bible alone gave true prophecies. Quote, I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Unquote, Isaiah 46:9-10. The statement by God that he alone can give and fulfill prophecy, which can only be found in the Bible, is restated many times in the Bible. See Isaiah 45:1-7, 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter 1:19-21, Deuteronomy 18:21-22, Isaiah 41:21-23, Jeremiah 28:9, and John 13:19. Note the tremendous force of this fact. To declare a thing shall come to pass long before it is in being, and to bring it to pass, this or nothing is the work of God. Chance fulfillment of prophecy is ruled out. Desperate atheists and other unbelievers, seeking a way to circumvent the fact of fulfilled prophecy and its connotations, have argued that the fulfillments of Old Testament prophecy in the New Testament were accidental, chance, or coincidental. But when a number of details are given, the chance fulfillment of prophecy is ruled out. One writer says, quote, it is conceivable that a prediction uttered at a venture and expressing what, in a general way, may happen to result may seem like a genuine prophecy. But only let the prophecy give several details of time, place, and accompanying incidents, and it is evident that the possibility of a chance fulfillment by a fortuitous concurrence of events will become extremely desperate, yea, altogether impossible. Unquote. The prophecies of heathen antiquity always took good care to confine their predictions to one or two particulars and to express them in the most general and ambiguous terms. Throughout all history, except for the prophecies of Scripture, there is not a single instance of a prediction expressed in unequivocal language and descending any minute detail which bears the slightest claim to being fulfilled. Suppose that there were only 50 prophecies in the Old Testament, instead of hundreds, concerning the first advent of Christ, giving detail of the coming Messiah. All meet in the person of Jesus. The probability of chance fulfillment, as calculated by mathematicians using the theory of probabilities, is less than 1 in 1,125,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, and fix the time and the place at which they must happen, the immense improbability that they will take place by chance exceeds all the power of numbers to express, or the mind of man to grasp. This is enough, one would think, to dismiss all pleas for chance from unbelievers, giving them no opportunity to escape from the evidence of prophecy. Let it be further observed that many of the prophecies about the Messiah are of such a nature that only God could fulfill them, such as his virgin birth, his sinless and holy perfection, his resurrection, and his ascension. Only God could cause Jesus to be born of a virgin or be raised from the dead. The coming Messiah. In the Old Testament, there is a definite, clear, and continuous teaching that the Messiah will come. Dozens of times we read such promises as, quote, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee," unquote, Zechariah 9:9. Quote, "The Lord God will come," unquote, Isaiah 40:10. Quote, "The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple," unquote, Malachi 3:1. And, quote, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee," unquote, Deuteronomy 18:15. Isaiah told of the, quote, rod out of the stem of Jesse, unquote, Isaiah 11:1, on whom the Lord would lay the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53:6. Prophets and seers of old often spoke of the time when, quote, the desire of all nations, unquote, would come. Haggai 2:7, also Genesis 3:15, 49:10, Numbers 24:17, Psalm 2:6, 118:26, Isaiah 35:4, 62:11, Jeremiah 23:5 through 6. Christ's coming is the central theme of the Bible. The coming of Christ, including his birth, perfection, work, teachings, sufferings, death, and resurrection, promised in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New, is the grand central theme of the Bible. Christ is the bond that ties the two testaments together. The Old Testament is revealed in the New. The New Testament is concealed in the Old. The average Bible reader can understand. The most ordinary reader may examine the old, curious predictions of the Messiah's person and work found in the Old Testament, follow the gradual progress of these revelations from Genesis to Malachi, and trace the prophecies as they descend into more and more specific and minute details, until at last the full figure of the coming one stands out. Then, with this image clearly fixed in his mind's eye, he may turn to the New Testament, and beginning with Matthew, see how the historic personage, Jesus of Nazareth, corresponds and coincides in every particular with the prophetic personage depicted by the prophets. There is not one difference, yet there could have been no collusion or contact between the prophets of the Old Testament and the narrators of the New Testament. Observe that I have not gone out of the Bible. I've simply compared two pictures, one which is in the Old Testament of a mysterious Christ. He is mysterious to those who are carnal, but the mystery is solved when a person becomes born again of the Spirit, then seeks the Lord with all their heart by their studying the Word of God, the Bible. When we become born again of the Spirit, we are able, by the Holy Spirit, to decipher all of the mysteries of not only the Old Testament, but the New. They all become very clear. The New Testament Christ fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies of himself. But again, the carnal mind deciphers none of this. The facts of the Bible are mysteriously obscured from the carnal mind. The spiritual soul and mind is able to decipher everything from the Lord. Christ was the very incarnation of the entire Godhead. His incarnation, his presence here on earth, and the entire New Testament testifies to his fulfilled deity and work in and through his church, his body, his bride, the New Jerusalem. Jesus is the Messiah. It is easy for the born of the Spirit Christian, who's washed in the blood of Jesus, to conclude that the prophecies of the Old Testament and the fulfillment of them in the New Testament are one and the same. Jesus, his body, his bride, the New Jerusalem, the church. A brief summary of the prophecies. Let us briefly trace a few of the outstanding similarities in correspondences between Old Testament prediction and New Testament fulfillment. The work of redemption was to be accomplished by one person, who was the central figure in both testaments, the promised Messiah. As the, quote, seed of the woman, unquote, he was to bruise Satan's head, Genesis 3:15, with Galatians 4:4. As the seed of Abraham, Genesis 22:18, with Galatians 3:16. And the seed of David, Psalm 132:11, Jeremiah 23:5, with Acts 13:23. He was to come from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10, with Hebrews 7:14. He was to come at a specified time, Genesis 49:10, Daniel 9:24-25, with Galatians 4:4, and be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, with Matthew 1:18-23, also Luke 1:27-35. In Bethlehem of Judea, Micah 5:2, with Matthew 2:1, Luke 2:4-6. Great persons were to visit and adore him, Psalm 72:10, with Matthew 2:1-11. Through the rage of a jealous king, innocent children were to be slaughtered. Jeremiah 31:15, with Matthew 2:16-18. He was to be preceded by a forerunner, John the Baptist, before entering his public ministry. Isaiah 43, Malachi 3:1, with Matthew 3:1-3, and Luke 1:17. He was to be a prophet like Moses, Deuteronomy 18:18, with Acts 3:20-22, and have a special anointing of the Holy Spirit, Psalm 45:7, Isaiah 11:2-4, 61:1-3, with John 3:34-36, Matthew 3:16-17, Luke 4:15-19, and 43. He was to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, Psalm 110:4, with Hebrews 5:5-10. As the servant of the Lord, he was to be a faithful and patient redeemer for the Gentiles as well as the Jews, Genesis 17:5, Isaiah 42:1-6, with Matthew 12:18-21. His ministry was to begin in Galilee, Isaiah 9:1-2, with Matthew 4:12-17-23. Later he was to enter Jerusalem, Zechariah 9:9, with Matthew 21:1-10, to bring salvation. He was to enter the temple, Haggai 2:7-9, Malachi 3:1-2, with Matthew 21:12, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, 6:19, 2 Corinthians 6:16-18, Ephesians 2:18-22, Revelation 3:20. His zeal for the Lord is spoken of in both Testaments, Psalm 69:9, with John 2:15-17. His manner of teaching was to be by parables, Psalm 78:2, with Matthew 13:34-35. And his ministry was to be characterized by miracles, Isaiah 35:5-6, with Matthew 11:4-5, John 11:47. He was to be rejected by his brethren, Psalm 69:8, Isaiah 53:3, with John 1:11-7:5, to be a, quote, stone of stumbling, unquote, to the Jews, and a, quote, rock of offense, unquote, Isaiah 8:14, with Romans 9:32-33, 1 Peter 2:7-8. He was to be hated without a cause, Psalm 22:6-20, Isaiah 53:3, Zechariah 12:10, Psalm 69:4, Isaiah 49:7, with John 15:18-25, Matthew 2:13, 26:67-68, 27:28-44, Mark 8:31, Luke 4:28-29, 23:5-10-11, John 8:37, chapter 19. Rejected by the rulers, Psalm 118:22, with Matthew 21:42-46, John 7:48-53. Betrayed by a friend, Psalm 41:9, with John 13:18-21. Forsaken by his disciples, Zechariah 13:7, with Matthew 26:31-56, and sold for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11:12, with Matthew 26:15. The price paid for him was to be given for the potter's field, Zechariah 11:13, with Matthew 27:7. He was to be smitten on the cheek, Micah 5:1, with Matthew 27:30. Spat on, Isaiah 56, with Matthew 27:30. Mocked, Psalm 22:7-8, with Matthew 27:28-31, and 39-44. And beaten, Isaiah 56, with Matthew 26:67, 27:26, and 30. His death by crucifixion is given in detail in Psalm 22, and the meaning of his death as a substitutionary atonement for our sins is given in Isaiah 53. His hands and his feet were to be pierced, Psalm 22:16, Zechariah 12:10, with John 19:18-37, 20:25, Yet not a bone of him was to be broken, Exodus 12:46, Psalm 34:20, with John 19:33 through 36. He was to suffer thirst, Psalm 22:15 with John 19:28, and be given vinegar to drink, Psalm 69:21 with Matthew 27:34. And he was to be numbered with the transgressors, Isaiah 53:12 with Matthew 27:38. His body was to be buried with the rich in his death, Isaiah 53:9 with Matthew 27:57 through 60, but was not to see corruption, Psalm 16:10 with Acts 2:31. He was to be raised from the dead, Psalm 16:10 with Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20, and Acts 13:33. And ascend to the right hand of God, Psalm 68:18 with Luke 24:51, Acts 1:9, also Psalm 110:1 with Hebrews 1:3. This bare sketch of Old Testament messianic prophecy with its New Testament fulfillment is, of course, far from complete. It is merely suggestive, though we have covered many of the main points. Remember, there are actually hundreds of predictions concerning the coming Messiah in the Old Testament.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. And right now, we're going to have our testimony service. We're going to have Brother Gerard all the way from New Orleans, Louisiana, where he was born and raised. And the Lord called him all the way to California, to the streets of Los Angeles, where he heard the gospel. And Brother Gerard, why don't you tell us about it?
Sure, I'll be happy to give my testimony. I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. I was raised in a Catholic family. I had very good parents, and of course my parents wanted the best for me, and I was taught to go to school and get a good education. I was sent to church, the Catholic Church, and of course as a young boy I believed that there was a God, and I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that there was heaven and hell, and in the Catholic Church, we were also taught about this, what I know now to be this non-existent place called purgatory. But anyway, as a boy, I went to church on Sundays, and when I went to Catholic school, we had mass every morning prior to school, and basically that was pretty boring to me. It was the Word of God, the King James Version Bible, was not taught in school, neither was it taught in my home, even though my mother was a very religious person according to the ways and doctrines of the Catholic Church. She was always lighting candles and saying the rosary beads and going to church and putting her hands on the statue's feet and, you know, saying whatever prayers that she was saying to these statues. Myself, as a young boy, I started getting into things I shouldn't have at a very young age. I started drinking at a young age, started smoking at a young age, and also got caught up with the wrong crowd of people. In the 60s, when the Vietnam era war was going on, the drugs started coming in. I started experimenting with marijuana, and one thing led to the next, and in the early 70s, a friend of mine and myself, we went to the United States Navy on a buddy plan, and I traveled to places like the Philippines and the Singapore and Hong Kong and places like that. And the partying continued, the drugs continued, and when I came home from the military, I found myself very, very strung out on drugs in the early 70s, and this continued for many, many years, using drugs, selling drugs, and just the majority of the people that I knew growing up were involved in drugs and alcohol in one way or the other. The rock music was happening back around that era of time, and everything was just going pretty crazy out there. And I thank God that in June of 1986, when I was completely strung out on heroin and cocaine, the Lord had people from the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation out on the streets distributing gospel literature and preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was confronted with the gospel. on the 23rd of June of 1986 in the area of 5th and Broadway, downtown Los Angeles. Actually, I was attempting to cross the street and to make a left turn, and what I know now to be the power of God drew me to the opposite side of the street where the witnesses were distributing literature and witnessing and testifying. And I came face to face with one of the sisters from the ministry, and she preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to me in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Almighty God opened my understanding and made me to know that this sister was telling me the truth, and that if I died in the state that I was in, which was a state of sin, that my soul would surely burn in the pits of hell. God made me to know this personally. And she and I knelt down on the street corners of 5th and Broadway, a beautiful sunshiny day, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal God and Savior. I asked him to wash my filthy sins away in his blood and to fill me with his precious spirit, and he did just that. And when I finished saying the prayer of repentance, I was sober as a newborn baby. I was instantaneously saved, instantaneously cured of my drug addiction. Later on that evening, I went up to the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation in Sagres, California, and I met the brothers and sisters from this ministry. And when I stepped off the bus in front of the church, I felt the same power of God come down upon me like I felt earlier that evening when I got saved on 5th and Broadway. And later on that night, I heard Pastor Tony Alamo preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God opened my understanding and made me to know that this man is of me, and what he's saying is true. It's true. And Pastor Alamo was preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God like I've never heard before. And after service that night, I met Pastor Alamo, and he gave me permission to move into this ministry under the conditions that I truly wanted to learn the Bible and, of course, keep the rules and regulations of the ministry and learn more about God. And it's getting close to 26 wonderful years, and I wouldn't trade a minute of my Christian walk for anything out there in the world. God has given me a love to read the Word of God, a love to pray. I've been taught how to witness and testify. And one thing I love about the Alamo ministry is Pastor Alamo has been given the gift from God to rightly divide the Word of God. He preaches it just like it is. We've been taught, according to the Word of God, about the fear of the Lord that makes man depart from evil. Pastor Alamo doesn't compromise the Word of God with any false doctrine or worldly doctrine at all whatsoever. And I'm on my way to the kingdom of heaven as long as I keep the commandments of God. And I want to urge anyone that's in the listening audience, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, regardless to what are you involved in, whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Praise the Lord, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Gerard. That's a great testimony to the power of the living God. Praise the Lord. For our next testimony, a very spirit-filled brother in Christ. Brother Mike, you want to give us your testimony?
Sure, Greg. Well, to start off, I was raised in a small town in Vermont, and we didn't have very much going on then. I mostly was raised in a Catholic institution where I didn't really feel any spirit of God or anything like that. But I know that when I came to this church back in 1970, I encountered the brothers, and they preached to me the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, which I never heard before, being in the Catholic institution. And so when I was young, I was basically had a normal upbringing, and then eventually I went through high school and then went into the Navy. And that's where my downfall was. When I went into the Navy, I started taking drugs and drinking, doing all kinds of stuff. But during that time, I had a friend who had come to the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation at the time out there in Hollywood. And that's where I was witnessed to by letter. He wrote letters to me about the church, which I never heard about God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, about, you know, the last days, or I'm going to wind up in hell if I didn't get right with God. I never heard these things before. And so after I had got out of the Navy, I had gotten a job at some hippie shop making some leather jackets. And so eventually I got enough money to go out to California. I was going to go out there and maybe get a new start, get a job or something. But I went out there with my friend's brother. We both went out there, and somehow eventually we ended up going by the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation, and that's where my friend was located. And we were brought there supernaturally. The Lord just led us there. And it was during the day that I was witness to, and it's the first time I ever heard the truth, the full truth, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never heard that before when I was in the Catholic institution. So that night we came to services, and the gospel was preached to me, and I felt the Spirit of the living God. I knew that I had to do something with my life. I had to make a decision what I was going to do. So I came down to the altar that night, and I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has been over 40 years ago that this has happened. And the Lord has kept me, and I'm really thankful, you know, that the Lord brought me here to this church where I could hear the truth, because out there it's just everybody's so lost and they don't really know what the full truth, the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is. But I really thank God, you know, that the Lord did have mercy on me because I was a desperately lost sinner. But I thank God, you know, the Lord brought me here to this church, and I give him all the praise and glory. And that's it, Greg. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Mike. It's so great that you've given your life for the cause of the gospel. There's so few people that are willing to live the life of the cross. Thanks again, Mike.
You know, so many people ask us, how is Pastor Tony Alamo doing? And the answer to that is, listen carefully to his literature and see the work of the Lord continuing on and growing. And this literature that's won so many hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of souls, listen carefully to Pastor Alamo's literature, because Pastor Alamo is doing great as God demonstrates his power in and through Pastor Alamo as he endures against all odds. And now our favorite part of the program, favorite because this is Pastor Alamo's soul-winning literature. It's still winning souls today. You know the devil really hates that. We're going to have Sister Michelle read one of Pastor Alamo's recent pieces of literature. Sister Michelle.
The Word of the Father is Christ by Tony Alamo, Volume 14800. The members of Christ's body are the members of the congregation. We are like the thunder in the mountains, in the nations. Communion in his body and blood is the life in his spirit. The life is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. Also, God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. The mother of Jesus was not immaculate, and she was not Catholic. If she had been immaculate, she would not have needed to have God as her Savior. She said in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, quote, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior," end quote. The Catholics ask, quote, "How would the Holy Son of God, God himself, be conceived and grow in an unholy sinner like Mary if she were a sinner?" The answer is, the same way Jesus, by the Immaculate Holy Spirit, enters all sinners when they repent of their sins and become sons of God. Jesus is born in them. For us, this is called being born again of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, "You and everyone else who will enter heaven must be born again of the Holy Spirit," John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. The Apostle Peter and all of the apostles were born again Christians by the Holy Spirit, and they were not Catholic either. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, "God the Father is the farmer." Jesus said that he is the vine, and all who are born of the Spirit, not Catholics, are the branches of the vine, and in Jesus, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. After we are attached, united by the Holy Spirit in Jesus, we are no longer sinners, but are sons of God, Christ's body. And he, his body, never sins cardinal sins. We are in the one who is without sin, which is totally the opposite of the Catholic cult of homosexuals. The Son of God, who is the Word of God, in heaven, and now also in us, was made flesh in Mary, and in every born of the Spirit Christian since that day that he overshadowed Mary when she accepted him. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Jesus continues living and working his works in us to this day, and he will continue doing so unto the end if we let him. Christ in heaven was and is the second part of the Godhead, not the Son of God, but the Word, who became the only begotten Son of God. But he still is the Word of God. As he entered Mary's womb by the Immaculate Holy Spirit, he enters our hearts by the same Immaculate Holy Spirit. And we also become the sons of God, branches in him, bearing much fruit, doing his will, winning souls, and going about doing good, which is the will of God. Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 63, quote, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The word also says eternal life is in the blood of Jesus, John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Remember, the life, eternal life, is in the blood of Jesus, and his life and resurrection is in the spirit or the word, which is God. So as Jesus says in John chapter 6, we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, or we will have no eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 53. When we drink his blood, or life, it simply means we are to drink his Holy Spirit, which is the Word, which again is spirit and life. John 6, 63. Quote, "And the Word was made flesh." John 1, 14. This means we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, which is the Word, in order to become his body, because eternal life is in his body, blood, word, and spirit. Jesus also said in John chapter 5, verse 40, quote, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." All the people who say we can do nothing to have eternal life are wrong, because we must come unto him. Otherwise, we have no life. We must come to the cross of Jesus to have our carnal life destroyed and be risen by the Spirit from our former dead life. This is a must, to first surrender our dead lives over to God in Christ, that we may be born again of His Spirit, Romans 12:1. The Holy Spirit of God must enter our hearts and bodies as he did Mary's on the day Gabriel spoke to her the words of God, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Water baptism will not save anyone's soul. Ye must be born again of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Sincerity in accepting the Word is the key. If any person is not sincere about escaping the fires and torments of hell in the lake of fire, salvation will not take place in them. We must come to a place in our lives where we are sick and tired of living a sinful life, a life without God in Christ, or else salvation will not take place in us. We must agree to live by God the Word, the Spirit, to eat his body, his flesh, and drink his blood. Christ's flesh is the Word which became flesh, John 1, verse 14. We must also drink his blood, the Spirit, which is life, to walk in his Spirit daily, to drink of his Spirit, of which the blood is life. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the blood, the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We cannot be carnal at all and enter heaven. To do good deeds is good and important, but not without the Spirit. We must be branches in Jesus, who now has become the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. For without the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to continue the life of Christ, the life of his blood on earth. Quote, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts," Zechariah 4:6. We must be born one more time, this time of the Spirit, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Quote, "The flesh is weak," Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Our overcoming power comes from God in Christ by the Spirit living and working in us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus really understood this. He prayed always without ceasing. He humbled himself when he found himself in the flesh of humans like us, and he learned obedience as we must if we will stay out of hell and enter heaven. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. The devil knows that his time is almost over, Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, and he is doing everything he can to convince all of the saints to give up. What good would it do for us to give up, to stop serving the Lord at the very end of time? Eat and drink the word of God, his Spirit, to be strong in God's might. We will go through some trials, persecutions, despair, sickness, disease, some hard times here, but eternity in heaven will be much more than worth it. If the job you have is too full of trials and temptations, if your friends always tempt you to sin, if you're sincere about going to heaven and serving the Lord, change your friends, then come to us. There is plenty of godly work to do. The Lord will provide food and shelter for you and your family. Live a godly life with us. Yes, we are being persecuted and slandered. Jesus was too. Jesus said we would be, but heaven is much more than worth it. Quote, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3:12. Jesus said, quote, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." John chapter 15, verse 20. The world is punishing all of you, and without any good reward. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. Come unto the Lord now by saying this prayer.
So let's pray. If you're not saved, let's pray the sinner's prayer. Nothing, nothing should be more important to you than this prayer. This is the most important decision that you could make in your entire life. Just repeat this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he sits on the right hand of God at this moment, hearing my confession of sin and this prayer. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed in my place on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will forgive my sins and save my soul. I know because your word, the Bible, says so. Your word says that you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I will show my thankfulness by doing as you command and sin no more. And if you've said that prayer and you meant it with all your heart and soul, just raise your hands and praise and thank the living God for his great mercy, as all the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance, and as you feel the peace of God flood your soul and the joy of the Lord overwhelm you. Worship the Lord and praise him and thank him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To receive a free copy of Pastor Lamo's literature or his book titled The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy, any of his audio messages on tape or CD, just simply write to Tony Lamo, World Pastor, Tony Lamo Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or you can call our 24-hour prayer and information line at area code 479-782-7370, or fax to us at area code 479-782-7406, or visit us on the website at www.alamoministries.com or info@alamoministries.com. And now, here's Pastor Tony Alamo to sing for you, Swing Down, Sweet Chariot.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. Well, I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. Well, I got a home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Calm and easy, well, I got a home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down and he got on board. Chariot wasn't bumping on down the road. Zeke wasn't particular about the bumping on the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy.
Well, I got a home on the other side. Well, I got a father in the promised land. Ain't gonna stop until I shake his hand. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy.
Well, I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy.
Well, I got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and